acts with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for sending your son. Lord, what a gift. Given us the opportunity to be saved. And Lord, my prayer today is, if there's one here that's never received this gift, Lord, that today would be the day they call on your name, make their salvation, their calling and election sure. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is God's Highest Glory. The key verse is verse 14. In verse 14, it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, a goodwill toward men. You know, the Bible mentions angels quite a few times, and in regards to angels and their relationship here to the birth of Christ, I had a few thoughts about that. You know, one was this, that when Satan was thrown out of heaven, and the Bible says that one-third of the host, which were angels, one-third of the host of heaven, you know, and apparently he must have deceived them somehow, that they were thrown out with him. He took one-third of the host of heaven with them. Now, think about this thought right here, and we know what Christmas is about, the Christmas season, that God sent his son to be born in a manger and ultimately to die on a cross, that we could have eternal life. But when one-third of the host of heaven was cast out, God did not reach down and rescue them. The Bible says that they're reserved in chains until the day of judgment, to this day. He didn't send a Savior for angels. He sent the Savior for man. But we see in our text, and I read there, and it said that there was, in verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, and it says that they were praising God. And they were the ones that said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So we see angels whom God did not send a Savior for as they were announcing the birth of Christ, that they were praising God. They were worshiping God. I believe there was shouting. I've got to add to this a little bit, but I can just imagine how this was. This wasn't a dead dull announcement or dead dull service. This was some praise. There was some shouting going on. They were worshiping God. I imagine if there was any singing going on, they probably do a little better than we do usually with our singing that we have. This was some. There was some excitement that you can read right there. But when I think about the fact but that God sent his son to die for us in our place, that think about how much more that we should praise God, how much more we should worship God, how much more, how excited we should be, because this was God's gift to man, not to the angels. He was coming to redeem man, not the angels. The angels had joy. And for the glory of God, it wasn't the angels' praise and the angels' joy wasn't for man's sake. It was for God's sake. I want you to understand that too. This was something. They said glory to God in the highest, not glory to man in the highest. They were excited because God's plans and his his prophecies, they were all about to take place or were taking place. And so I had some thoughts on this. I think I got four thoughts on what the angels had to say out of verse 14. The very first thing that we see, they had some instruction. They had some instruction there. Jesus Christ is bringing salvation to man. This was the beginning of sorts. I guess I was thinking about this, and it's, I mean, listen, God had this plan before the foundation of the world. You know, we, and I think I've got that across to you before. God wasn't surprised when man fell into sin. This wasn't like, oh, this something happened. Now I got to come up with a plan to fix this. No, he had this all figured out the whole time. And I'm not claiming to know the mind of God on everything he did, but I knew in the plan was the best way he could think of to show us how much that he loves us, that how much he loves man. So he had this plan, but I think right there that this birth was really getting the ball rolling on the fruition of this part of it. He knew from before the world was created what he was going to do. But now it was the appointed time. He was getting the ball rolling here. And so I think I said a couple of weeks ago, the Old Testament canon had closed and there was about a 400-year period of darkness where man didn't hear anything from God. In other words, no prophets were saying, thus saith the Lord. So it was a dark world, kind of like we're living in today. It was a dark world that they were living in. And so it was because this light that God sent shines brightest in a dark place. That was all part of the plan right there. And so God got the ball rolling, and as far as man could see it right there. And then Jesus Christ came to earth. He sent his son to come, which we also understand that to be God in the flesh. God himself came to earth. He humbled himself, and he came down to reveal himself to man through Jesus Christ more fully, reveal himself more fully to Jesus Christ. You got to remember, the word wasn't complete, so they didn't have the Bible. So God wanted to show himself to man, and he wanted to show his love to man. I think he wanted to show man his sinfulness, i.e. the crucifixion, that man could take a holy, just God and crucify him when Pilate himself said, I found no fault in him. That shows the wickedness of man. So he revealed the wickedness of man through the crucifixion. But he also showed his love, how much that he loved man. And then Jesus came and would die on the cross, pay that penalty for sin. And all of those things brought glory to God. All of those things were bringing glory to God, not man. You know, we're in such a self-centered world that we live in. We think we're in the center of everything. Like everything revolves around us. And that's something that we fight against, even as Christians, being self-centered. We do. And so it was about God. It wasn't about us. And so all these things was bringing glory to God. That's what the angels were praising about. That's what they had to praise about. Angels brought glory to God themselves. When you think about this, they were present at creation. Angels were present at creation. They dwelt with God in the heavens. Angels dwelt there, so they knew that was all about. But you know, you think about angels, it says they praise God. Now listen, you know, we have down days, don't we? We get some days where we just don't. I was sharing with them on Wednesday night. There's a Jewish guy. There's not a lot of Jewish people in this area, but there's a Jewish fella at the Bryan Center. And Sherry and I go down there, and I'm the chaplain there, and we go down and talk to him. And I've been dealing with him. He's a New York City Jewish man. I mean, head hard as that table right there. Really, and he's an old guy, so he's set in his ways. You know how us old guys are. He's set in his ways, and man, I didn't want to talk to him the other day. I mean, I went to see him and talk to him, but I wasn't really going to witness to him. I've kind of went that approach. But I'm going to tell you what, man, God just, you know, God had a hand in that. And I got to talk to this guy and started talking to him about, because he said, I don't know if the Messiah is ever going to come. I said, that's because you missed it. I said, he's already coming. Boy, God just led me to talk to him about that. But we think about having down days, and we have, and that's the way I was feeling that day. Man, I didn't feel all that spiritual that day, but until God laid his hand on me, got to talking to this guy, that I was doing what God wanted me to do. Amen. That'll always kind of cheer your day up right there. But, you know, we have down days, and listen, we come to worship sometime on church. I know we come at church sometime. We just soon done something else. I know that. I think we come to church sometimes, and I mean, we know the routine. You know when you're going to sing. You know when you're going to sit down. You know when somebody's going to pray. You know when the offering's going to get taken up. You know, and you can go through the motions and not be spiritually there, you know, not be into it. We have those days right there. Indifferent, grumpy days. Anybody ever get grumpy? Yeah, 2-3 people rated. Come on. Anybody? We had to have an altar call right off the bat. We can't even have church because people won't get honest right away, man. People lie sitting down there. No, I don't get grumpy. Ask somebody next to you if you ever get grumpy. They'll tell you. Huh? All right, listen. But the angels don't have them days. They don't have, I don't believe angels have grumpy days moping around, doggone, these wings are on my back. They don't have days like that. Man, listen, they're always praising God. They're up there in the heavens, man. They glorify God. Now, there's a reason. I know why we have dumpy days. I know they don't have to deal with what we have to. But they always praise God. They bring glory to God, okay? Now, we can, but we don't always do it. Now, creation itself. Creation brings God glory. We look around. We live in a beautiful part of the country. We look around, man. Every sunrise brings God glory. Every sunset. I got a good, and you ladies have been up to our house when they had the ladies fellowship meeting. You was there in the evening to see the sun. We got a view. I got the sunsets. You want to see sunsets? We got the place to see. We see the sunsets. It brings glory to God. Snowfall is beautiful. Every snowfall, even thunder. How many of you, when you was a kid, when you go out there and you know, and one of them thunderstorms is coming, it hadn't started raining yet, but that rolling thunder across the way. How many of you, huh? Didn't you kind of think, ooh, man, God's kind of mad? Huh? Didn't you ever think like that? Huh? You know, God's mad, he's going to get me. But you know what? And you hear how awesome, especially in the mountains, it really can get the rumbling. I mean, you just feel like, it feels like the power of God, lightning. It feels like the power of God. It brings praise to God. Even those things, springtime, beautiful place in the mountains to be. Boy, the red buds start blooming, man, the dogwood start popping. And it's a beautiful place. That brings glory to God. The mountains themselves, stars in the sky. Nothing like... In the big city, they have light pollution. There's so much extra light from cities and malls and things that you can't see as good. But boy, when you're out here in the country, if you can get around, if I go behind my house on Wednesday night on a real clear, cold night, when we go in there and we didn't turn the porch light on, oh, man, you'll see stars that you haven't seen for a while. They're up there. That brings glory to God, the moon, the planets, the Hubble telescope pictures. I love to look at those. If you've never done that, just Google up Hubble telescope pictures and start looking at what the Hubble telescope took out in space. And just the forms and the colors and the shapes, it's like, man, there's a God. You know, it's a beautiful sight. And so everything, all the animals on the planet, the birds, the fish, the sun, everything that God created brings glory to God, except man. Except man. The one thing doesn't mean we don't never do as safe, but man is the problem. Man is the problem. Man doesn't bring glory to God. So it said glory to God, and then it said, in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. That means that there's levels of glory to God or bringing glory to God. And when we think about this, you know, the creation did bring God glory. But what brought God glory in the highest was the incarnation, not the creation. It was the incarnation. That God himself would humble himself and become a man, come down to this sinful world, become a man and born of a woman into a corrupt world and live among sinful men and die as a sinner, unjustly, I might add. Not only just die as a sinner, but he wasn't a sinner, but he died like a sinner and he died on the cross. And of all ways to go, this is not a good way to go. Is a lengthy process to die on the cross. But the fact that God did that was in his plan from the beginning. It all brought glory to God. And I wonder if angels ever do any wondering, thinking, if there was ever a time that they were going to wonder, when God wrapped himself in flesh and came to this earth and let man do what they did, scourge him and crucify him on a cross. They had to be wondering, what is God doing? What is going on? I don't know that they did. I'm just saying, if they would. So the angels understand better than we do how far God had to stoop to redeem man. They understand this. We have a hard time seeing that. How far down and how far God had to go to redeem us. And the fact that he wanted to save us, I don't know if the angels wondered about this either, but what did I say? The only created thing that doesn't give God the glory that they should is man. And God wants to save him. He didn't come down to save the angels, but he came down to save man. This is a profound thought. And naturally, I should say, the only thing that naturally doesn't give God glory. But see, if you're saved, you're not natural, you're supernatural because you have the Holy Spirit of God, and we should give God glory. And we struggle even with that. So he said, glory to God in the highest. And then he said, peace on earth. Another thing he said there. And he said, you know, when you think about it, now, the reason that we don't always give God glory and the reason that we have down days and the reason that we have grumpy days is, number one, we have a fallen nature. So we've got that fallen nature to start with. And then we got Satan fighting against us every step of the way. I told somebody the other day they was having bad thoughts. I said, let me tell you something. I think Harold Vaughn quoted somebody else on this. It was in something he wrote. But he said, listen, God never put a bad thought in a person's mind. Woo, man, how many bad thoughts do you have? Huh? I mean, I'm not talking about sinful thoughts. I'm just talking about negative thoughts. I'm talking about, you know, the thoughts that affect your emotion, like feelings getting hurt or you hear negative things, or sometimes nobody has to say anything. How many of you sometimes in your own mind, you just get to thinking, and the next thing you know, you're thinking, you know, you got this problem and that problem. You know, you're creating them there, but you got these problems, or you feel bad, or you feel it's negative, negative, negative things. God never put a negative thought in anybody's mind. God never did that. I'm going to have a problem here. And I thought, wow, that's a good thing to think about, that God doesn't put those thoughts in our mind. It's Satan that fights us every step of the way, tooth and nail. Satan is fighting us every step of the way. The angels in heaven don't have that same problem that we have. They get into fights with Satan, we understand, down here on earth, but not there. They don't get into it with him. So we have this going on, and it's happened since day one. And then we look around the world at the scene today. We got wars, rumors of wars. The Bible talks about it. Wars and rumors of wars, and wars and rumors of wars have raged since the beginning of time, throughout time. There's been no peace between God and man, and there's been no peace between man and man ever since Adam fell. Ever since he fell, there's been no peace there. But the night that Christ's birth, the angels said, peace on earth. Hey, peace on earth. Man, peace, this was it. And the reason they said that is because, listen, peace can only be found in Jesus Christ. Peace can only be found. Now, peace between man and God, even peace between man and man, it can only be found in Jesus Christ. Those are that's the one place. That's what, you know, and we look everywhere else. We're trying to legislate it. We got laws. We're dealing with the things with the gun laws and this and that. You can't legislate peace, righteousness, good. No, it hasn't happened. It's only found in Jesus Christ. That's why they said that. And then they said goodwill toward men. You know, a lot of times when I deal with people that are lost, and I try to, you know, you got to kind of learn how to deal with, you know, however God leads you in the situation, and different personalities of people can be dealt with in a certain way. It's a real juggling act. But I've heard people say, okay, listen, this has been all my Christian life. I heard this even before I wasn't really a Christian, but I just always believed there was a God, and I believed everything, but I just hadn't been saved. But people say, well, you know, if God is love, then how come we got all this going on in the world? How come we have all this hate? Why do we have death and hate and murder? Why do babies die? That was when I remember a foreman I had when I worked up in Northern Virginia at Capitol Boulder Works. I remember he said, well, if God is love and God is good, why do babies die? I said, well, you're looking at it at the end. That's the end of their life. No, babies don't have to go through all of what you and I have went through, heartache, heartbreak, all these things going on. No, they're safe. They're living, you know, they're living on. I said, so you're looking at it as the end, but it's not the end. And we look around, evil, we got evil everywhere, unrest in the world. Why all this? If God is real, if God is love, why do we have all this? But the same people have broken God's laws and neglected to worship. They've neglected or rejected Jesus Christ, God's gift. They thumb their noses at God and yet want to blame God if they think there's one, or else they want to doubt that he even exists. The same, very same people. So how did God show goodwill towards man? Because Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Listen, so these same people see that Jesus Christ died for us while we were in this other category here, that he died for the ungodly people. That's showing his goodwill towards man. That's what he was doing right there. Of course, the shepherds probably didn't know what was going to happen there. I'm sure they didn't. They didn't know when the baby was born that this is what he was coming to, the cross. He was born for the cross. God gave his son. What greater show of goodwill could you give than to give your son? None of us would do it. None of us would do it for anyone. None of us would do it for the whole world. What would you do if you had to choose your child instead of the whole world? The whole world going to be in trouble. The whole world going to be in trouble. No, I can't do it. We don't have that kind of love. We don't have that kind of love for everybody else. Let's just be real. And we talk about it. We know we should. I got to pray about it every day. I got to pray, Lord, love somebody through me today. But I can't do it. No, we don't have it, but God does. That's the greatest goodwill gesture ever given, that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. Amen? That's good stuff right there. He came to earth. He died on the cross. He paid our sin debt so that a holy God, this is why it had to be done, a holy God could remain holy and just and still forgive us of our sins. Because God just didn't sweep our sins under the rug. He couldn't do it. We could. I can sweep your faults under the rug. I can sweep your sins under the rug. But God is so holy and just, he couldn't do it. Somebody had to pay. But he said, I'll pay. I'm going to pay for that. I'm going to pay and take care of you. Send his son. Man. And so, by the mighty act of saving the unrighteous and godless sinner, God glorified himself. God glorified himself. This is what the angels were singing about. I mean, the angels, they're not singing, oh, great man, man's going to get saved, and boy, it's going to be, boy, just, whoa, what a good thing for you, Randy. They're not singing about that. They're saying that God Almighty came down to this wicked earth, and them people out there that hated his guts, that's going to crucify him down the road, he said God came down here and stooped this low just to bring them people and save them old godless sinners. He said, save them. And then he turned around, and they said, boy, glory to that. Boy, that is a glorious, most glorious thing I've ever seen. Glory to God. That's what they were talking about, what God did, not for us, but what God did for himself. Oh, man. He glorified himself in the highest, and he showed goodwill towards men. When you think about the second thing I thought about in regards to this is emotion. You know, we think about it. These angels who didn't need to be saved glorified God, and they praised God, and I spoke about that a minute ago. Not for our sakes, but it was like I said, for them. And, you know, but we have been saved. We were talking about what worship's supposed to be like. We talked about that somewhat in Sunday school a little bit, about what it's supposed to be like. We got more to sing about than the angels do. We got more to shout about than the angels do. We got more to praise God about. This is what it is, what it be. If you worshiped all day long, if you worship every day, get it some time alone with God in prayer, in your word. Huh? Now listen, back to old Satan, right? He's going to fight you on all these points, right? He's fighting you about getting alone by yourself. He's going to fight you on reading your Bible. But if we spend some time, quality time with God, if we do, and we pray, we have worship at home. It's not just today. Most of our problem is we try to worship just today, and it's pretty lame, isn't it? It's just, let's just call it what it is. But when we worship at home, and this is the accumulation of our worship all week long, and we get here, boy, you'll be singing, man, and shouting instead of mumbling and fumbling around. It's exciting. How many of you yell at football games when you got your game, your team's on TV? How many of you yell at the TV set? Huh? Come on, be honest, huh? I yell at the stupid TV. Sherry's in the back, what are you yelling at? That TV? Them stupid referee, them guys can't play. You know, man, what is it? That's emotion, right? That's why I do that. Fired. But see what we ought to be, boy, we ought to come in here and we just, huh? We got something to shout about, salvation. I believe we'll get it right. We'll get it right when we get to heaven. And we're going to be up there like all of us. Maybe we'll all be together. We'll in our little group, you know. And we'll be up there going down and say, man alive, this is what it was supposed to be like. It could have been like that down there in church, man. Look at that. Boy, we're all excited, man. That's what it's supposed to be like. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. You know, you don't get saved because of your emotion. You get saved because of the truth of God's word. I mean, I can get you crying in a minute. Huh? I'll just start crying about something. You'll cry. If I start laughing about something. I got a thing on my Facebook page about this girl. Did y'all, anybody else get it? I don't remember if I shared it. I got this one girl put a thing on Facebook where she was in the store and she was feeling all Christmassy. And there was a lady behind her only had a soda. So she said, hey, I'm going to get your soda. And the lady said, why? Because I just feel in the Christmas mood and the Christmas spirit. She goes, I'm all excited about it. She goes, I'm just going to. Boy, she goes, boy, humanity is so good. And she was all excited about it. And she went outside and there was a guy out there washing the windows on her car. And she went up there and said, oh, boy, this is what Christmas is all about. It's just so great and everything. And the guy said, and she went up there and she gave the guy a big old hug and everything. He was just standing there. And then she said she looked, and it wasn't her car. He was washing the windows on his own car. And so she got so tickled about it, and I showed the video to Sherry. I'll have to share it. I'll share it. That's how you do it, right? Is that how you do it, Danielle? I'll share it so everybody get it. If I can find it again, it's buried deep in the archives of Facebook. I'll share it with you. And I said, come here and look at it. We don't know the girl. She started telling the story, and she couldn't hardly tell it because she said she had to move to a new parking lot to do it on Facebook. We got to laughing our head off. Why? Because she's laughing. See, it's not about, but anyway, I'll share that. That's a little side note. I'll share that with you. You can laugh too. We were laughing. I was crying. But I can get you emotional is what I'm saying. Somebody, a good speaker, they can get you emotional. You're not saved because of your emotion, but there is emotion involved in your salvation, man. We got something really, we should think about that right there. We've got a lot, we look at those shepherds that were there, the sight of the angels, the confident words of the angels, the praise of the angels, the message that the angels said. Look what it says in verse 15 of our text. It said in verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And so, boy, here it was. This is what happens, man. Listen, it caused the shepherds, the sight of the angels, the words that they had to say, the praise that the angels had, the message of the angels, it caused the angels, it says that they let us now go. It moved them. It moved them. They were out there watching sheep. I used a couple times over the years, I preached about that point right there. What do you think was important? Sheep was money. Don't get me wrong. Sheep was money. And they didn't have like a lot of, currency. They had currency, but everybody didn't have it. So you traded in what you had. Sheep was money. You think they was worried about them stupid sheep? Jesus Christ is born, and he's in a manger. And they said, man, sheep, nothing, man. Let's go see this. And that's what they did. It said they went to go see. Who watched the sheep? I don't know. I don't think they cared. I believe God watched them for them, though. I believe God had his hand on it. I believe them sheep, when they come back, was right there. Might have had 10 or 15 more when they got back. Huh? I believe that. But here's the thing. It moved them to Christ. There's a movement. They went to see. I believe, listen, when we really get it, we get the hang of this, that we'll be moved to worship. That's church. I'm going to give you this is a little negativity right here. I'm going to give it to you. I found out some things about Facebook I told you about this morning. I told a Sunday school class. Facebook, you find out about stuff. People say, you know what, preacher, I just can't come on Sunday night, and I can't come on Wednesday night, and I can't, because in the wintertime it's just too dark, and then it's too cold, and when I get home from work, I'm just too tired. And then they go out and post everything that they did at night on Facebook with pictures and everything. We went to this thing on this night at 7:30, and how come that didn't keep you from doing that? How come the dark and the cold and being tired didn't keep you from doing that? But you can't come to church. Because what were we talking about? It's in the heart right here. It's a heart issue, right? You see that? So that's all the negativity I'm going to give you. But it's the truth. Sometimes the truth is a negative thing. But it moved them. And they said, let's go see. We want to go see. And I think that praise and the truth, understanding the truth, they believe those words and understand the truth, and praise caused them, it caused them to praise. And then in verse 17, it even says they went to go tell what they heard. That's evangelism right there. Huh? There was the first evangelist. They went out, besides the angels, they went out to tell what they saw and heard. They were telling somebody about that, man. And then in verse 20 says that the shepherds began to glorify God and praise God themselves. Glory to God in the highest. Man, they glorified God. That's what's our sole purpose on earth? Glorify God. If you don't know this is why God created you. my Wednesday night people, they know. God created us for one purpose only. He does it in a multitude of ways. Our purpose is to glorify God. That's it. Well, I'm just not satisfied, preacher. I'm just not happy. I'm not satisfied. I'll tell you why you're not satisfied and not happy. You're not doing what you were made to do. Glorify God. That's what God does. That's what he made us for, to glorify himself. And then the third thing, prophecy. When we read verse 14 and then we look around the world today, we don't see God glorified and we don't see God honored by most of the world. But the world we live in today, self is king, money is worshipped, and power is praised. God is forgotten or dishonored. And then we think about peace on earth, and I spoke about it already, wars all over, unrest, political problems, depression. And you know, the angels, of course, they knew what was ahead. They knew what was coming up. I believe they knew some of that, that Christ was ushering in all these events to take place and that it was a prophecy in the future, peace on earth. And listen, there's peace that comes to the heart of man that gets saved today. If you don't have that, you're not saved. There's a peace that comes. Doesn't mean we don't have concern, but I'm talking about as far as your relationship with Jesus Christ goes. There's a peace between God and man through Jesus Christ, the only way, the only peace that we have that. There's a peace that comes there. And I believe there's a certain amount of peace between man and man too that's produced right there. It's the individual things right there. And I was talking last week about, let me get ahead of myself. The angels knew those things were going to take place in the future. That was some prophecy about what one day there will be peace on earth. God's going to rule with a rod of iron. Not everybody's going to be believers. You know, in the millennial period, there's not everybody's going to be believers, because at the end it says the people that get cast in the lake of fire with Satan in them is as a multitude of sea. Does that mean that's unbelievable? But that's going to happen. We know that. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to be any unrest, not going to be any turmoil, not going to be any sin. It's going to be because God, Jesus Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron. It's going to be a perfect environment right there. He's coming back. And we understand that. And there will be peace on earth during that time. And then there'll be a new earth and a new heaven, and there'll be peace during that time as well. So we got a prophecy. And then the fourth thing is perspective. Perspective. The shepherds, I believe, after this, had the right perspective about things. They looked for Christ. It's a pretty good perspective. Later on, a couple years later, I know we get the wise men wrapped up in the Christmas story, and I thought about that too. Who knows that 2 years later when the wise men were looking for Christ that it wasn't around the birth of Christ? I guess I got to look at the dates and figure that out if they got it. But the wise men ended up looking for Christ a couple years later. They were looking for him too, as all wise men do. And I said a couple, last week I think it was, we got a lot of distractions that go along with Christmas, all the add-on things. Santa Claus, snowmen, sleighs, reindeer, Christmas trees, lights. Am I leaving something out? I don't know what, you know, all the things that go along that are attached to Christmas, and they can get distracted there. And so I think it does take a little bit of effort for the world today to find Christ even in the midst of Christmas. They have to look. Some people take him out and put Xmas instead of Christmas, but they do that. So the shepherds, though, they had a glimpse or got a glimpse. And I believe that for those of us that know the Lord, that we've trusted God, you know, you have to get a glimpse. We talked about seeing not with your eye today. Brian was talking about that in Sunday school. We see not with our eye, or Paul said something about it in a note. It's seeing with the eye of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We see, we get a glimpse of that, and we have the peace of God, and we have peace with God. We understand what it's all about. We have goodwill towards men. We should have goodwill towards men. And through our lives, this is the way it's supposed to be, through our lives and our actions, we're supposed to bring glory to God by showing goodwill towards men and make things right between ourselves and God, even make things right between ourselves and man. Showing love. You know, I told you what I pray. I said, Lord, love someone through me today. I heard Sammy Fry say that at the prayer advance. I thought, man, what a profound prayer. Lord, love someone through me today. I said, man, I'm going to say that every day. I want to mean that every day. Lord, love someone through me today. We should love. How about forgiveness? You know, relationships with our fellow man right there. You know that loving somebody, Christ loving somebody through you brings glory to God. You know, when you forgive somebody, it brings glory to God. Yeah, when you forgive somebody, it brings glory to God. That's what we're supposed to do. Let me ask you this in closing. I'm done with the message. You know, have you received the gift that God gave so long ago? That's Jesus Christ. Have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and ask for forgiveness of your sins? And, you know, do you know the Lord? I don't like saying, are you saved? Because it looks like a one-time event in a person's life, and a lot of people treat it that way. Salvation is not a one-time event. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ every day. It's an everyday relationship. Do you have down days? Yep. But it doesn't last. Peter sinned against the Lord and went out and wept. But I tell you what, it only took him about a half an hour. He didn't fall into sin, and 20 years later still hadn't made things right with God. About a half hour, he was back there confessing his sin. And when we're saved, salvation, when we trust Jesus Christ, it brings glory to God in the highest. It brings glory to God in the highest, our salvation. Nothing higher than God saving us. That's the highest glory to God. Amen. Let's all stand. Paul will come, lead us in the invitation. God spoke to your heart this morning. You need to be saved. I don't know. Listen, salvation's not in a profession. There is salvation. I mean, we have to confess with our mouth, call on the Lord. But that's not the evidence. The evidence is that changed life. So even if you've made a profession, and even if you've been baptized and joined a church and whatever you might have done, doesn't mean that your salvation was a real thing. And I'm not trying to get somebody that's saved, lost, and get them saved again, but I want you to make sure that it's a real thing. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want one, God wants you to have it, and He's ready for you.
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 56, when we all get to heaven. Hymn 56.
Appreciate y'all being here today. We had some people out this morning that will be here this evening, but we got the Christmas program, 6:30. I would say a couple things. If you can walk pretty good, if you could park us down this way a long way, kind of leave these closer parking places open for the people that don't get around too good, because we usually got them in the field and we got people in the grass, and that's okay. It's just I'm trying to get the people that don't get around good, if we can leave a place for them. Don't forget to bring all the goodies. That's at the end of it. Probably won't be a thing there good for you, but it'll be good. Amen. And so we got that, and it'll be a good time. Like I say, it's one of my favorite nights, the spirit and the mood and all. It's a good night. That and Christmas Eve service, I don't know which one I would rate the best, but to me. But anyway, they're both good. Probably Christmas Eve, but anyway. Amen.